station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you're interested. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. If you're listening to me live now, you're already there. So you want to go to the top of the screen and look for it's a link at the top of the website and it says Channel One. So you scroll down and you look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. And this is going to take you directly to our archive page. And there you can view a list of all of our past guests. Now, shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there you go. All of our shows are available to listen to. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, visit the official Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And again, for everybody that has been sending in emails and calling, thank you so much for wanting to be on the show. And we are, again, booked until the end of the year, but we will start booking again in January, and we'll start that about October. So send your submissions in via email, call, and we'll get back to you and then start lining you up again. You have to be a professional in the entertainment business and be able to contribute tips, advice, and resource information to our guests of how they too can pursue a career in show business. Now, we have an incredible guest. Now, you're going to say, what is this guy, based on profession, doing on the show when it's an entertainment-related show? Well, there are so – let me tell you why. First of all, when Jenny, who's his publicist, submitted him, I took a look at his website. I was so super – super impressed. I can't even tell you how impressed with this guy I was. And I thought, how can I tie this in to an entertainment themed show? And I thought, how many of my actor friends have said, oh my God, you know what? I need to get a part-time job. I need to supplement my income. And I thought, well, is it possible that instead of the regular jobs that you do, waitress, waitering, I always think of trying to look for something outside of the box. And I thought, what if I could bring someone on who could talk about real estate? Because why not be able to supplement your income selling real estate? Now, I don't know if that's a possibility, because I do have lots of friends who sell real estate, and they do say that in order for you to be successful, you have to do it full time and give it 150%. But I do also know that I have heard of people selling real estate part-time. So we're going to find out from Herman today if it's possible for you to be in the entertainment business and take your hand at selling real estate for an alternative rather than doing bartending and waitressing. So now today, Herman Chan, again, real estate expert, commentator, and writer. Now, Herman Chan, he has a new show, and it's called Habitat for Hermanity. Isn't that the cutest title ever? Habitat for Hermanity. And it's been called Real Estate with a Punchline. And on this show, he skewers the real estate business and he pokes fun at his fellow agents. All the while, he's empowering buyers and sellers with behind-the-scenes tips and secrets of the industry. So Herman Chan is just known all over. You think, oh, where have I heard that name? Where have I heard that name? Okay, well, he's appeared on HGTV's House Hunters, My House is Worth What, CBS, MSNBC, KOFY TV, KRON TV, that's KRON TV, and he was also in the Real documentary entitled Moving Up, Moving Out. He's also been featured in articles for Echelon Magazine, Asian Real Estate Magazine, and Realtor Magazine. And most recently, Kodak handpicked Herman Chan to be their brand's real estate influencer. My God. Finally, Herman Chan was nominated on Inman News as real estate's most influential. So this is the guy to talk to if you want to talk real estate, and he's going to be able to answer that question. So without further ado, let's say hi, wherever you are, to Herman Chan. Hey, Herman!
Hey, Miss Priscilla, how's it going?
What is going on, you sexy little thing? And I have to tell you that because I was looking at your picture. I'm like, oh, my God, being a Bruce Lee, you know, my husband's Asian. I love my Asian men. I have a whole Asian fetish. So I was like, oh, my God, he's hot. I wonder if I could blow this picture up into a poster. He is a hot little Asian, right?
Oh, Priscilla, you are so crazy. You know, it's just a little Photoshop and some makeup. That's all it is.
Oh, well, isn't it for all of us, my darling? Well, let's start. You know what? I want to start with the same question that I ask everyone, because most people, or at least I think most people, want to know, what did you want to do when you were a child? Because I'm always fascinated with people, what they wanted to do and what they ended up doing. So what did little Herman Chan want to be when he grew up?
When I was little, I really wanted to be Wonder Woman.
Woo! I love it!
Yeah. I wanted to dress up and wear those go-go boots and whatnot. And, you know, the thing that really got me there was you could be fabulous and beautiful and still help people. And I still do that today.
And wouldn't you kill for her waist, my God? Linda Carter and that waist, my Lord. Yes, yeah, so you wanted to be Wonder Woman. Now, all right, so you wanted to be Wonder Woman. How did it morph itself into being real estate? You know, when you decided that you wanted to work in real estate, what steps did you take to become a professional?
Oh, gosh, that's quite a story. Well, my whole family's in real estate, so it wasn't really that much of a jump. But, you know, I went to Berkeley, and I studied a communications major, so I was hoping to go into radio or advertising or whatnot. But the fact of the matter is I'm a big people person, and I love helping people, and I just needed more of that one-on-one interaction. And I've got personality for miles, so it was kind of a waste sitting at the desk.
I can tell. Yeah. Now,
my mom was like, Herman, why don't you just get your license and sell one or two homes a year to stay afloat? Because I was doing a lot of modeling at the time. And that's what I did. So, and lo and behold, I was just really, I guess, talented. And I just started selling a lot of real estate. And I was able to juggle two careers. I was doing a lot of print modeling and selling real estate. So here I am.
Well, now, let me ask you, what is it that, and I've wondered about this, what, I think I have an idea, but you're the expert. What is it that separates the average real estate agent from the real estate mogul? Like the expert.
God, have you got 3 hours, Priscilla?
Well, I would imagine it's a person between, I would think that it would be the difference between I think it's a work ethic thing. Those who are willing to go the extra mile rather than those that say, okay, well, I sold one house and that's enough to cover my bills. Am I on the right track?
It depends. I mean, there's different agents for different people. I mean, that's the beauty of the business, is that you attract your clientele that you're attracted to and vice versa. And there's some people who are really technological oriented, and you just need to figure out an agent who's more on the Facebook and the Twitter and social media. And then there are clients who just don't even have a fax machine. You just need to be able to tailor your work ethic and your work style with the clientele. And at the end of the day, it's about advocating for someone's best behalf. I mean, I think a lot of agents out there, they're just in it for the money, and which is fine, but I really feel that, I mean, we got to make a living, but ultimately it's about the client. I mean, it's you're guiding someone through the biggest purchase of their life. and you need someone to touch your back. And that's what I think really kind of separates a real good agent from someone who's just kind of doing it on the fly.
Well, you know, I watched this show on Bravo TV called Million Dollar Listing. Do you watch that?
What, yes.
Million Dollar Listing? Oh, my God, I love that show. Okay, so personally, with the exception of one agent that's on there, Josh Altman, who just joined the cast, who seems like he really hustles, the other two agents, they seem, honestly, I hate to say it, but they seem kind of lazy, elitist, and not at all interested or in a hurry to close the deal. So how did the ones who seem lackadaisical reach the level of being able to sell million-dollar homes and are on the show? Because I tell you, I know you've watched the show, and I'm not going to mention their names, but one of them is out there hustling, and the other two are like, ah, oh, and the one's writing a book, and, you know, he's from this wealthy family, and, you know, so, you know, how did these people who don't seem like they're out there hustling and hungry to get it, how did they end up selling million-dollar homes? How do you go from a regular real estate agent to being able to sell those big homes if you're going to have
That's a great question, Priscilla. And, you know, I've been on some TV shows before myself. And, I mean, it is a TV show at the end of the day. So a lot of it is staged and, you know, a lot of it is kind of loosely based on what's going on in their life. I don't know what's going on right now this season, but I have a feeling with Josh Altman, he's the newer person there.
Right.
But I think they're trying to establish his cred versus the other two. I think they're ongoing characters, and I think it's no longer about the homes. It's more about the audience, I think, is resonating more with their personal lives because I think one of them just came out and da-da-da. And I think –
Yeah, Josh Flagg just came out, and he's right. But it's like it's all about his book, and I'm thinking, when do you have time to sell these million-dollar homes? And I just don't know because they don't seem like they're any better than just regular real estate agents that I've met who are out there really hustling, but they're not selling million-dollar homes. And these guys are like in their 20s and, you know, late 20s, early 30s.
I think a lot of it comes down to who you know. You know, you may be the best agent in the world and the most ethical and hardworking, but if you just don't know people who are buying and selling $2 million homes, I mean, it's very hard to break into that echelon. So
there you
maybe
go.
That they go up with has helped them. I don't know.
I think you're right. It does come down to who you know. So this show is tying in the entertainment business. There is nepotism involved. Okay. So in this family.
There are a lot of similarities between real estate and entertainment because I got my foot in both worlds. And I could tell you, nepotism certainly is a very big theme.
Yeah, well, especially with one of those guys. Okay. So in this falling real estate market, what are the best agents' tactics in staying afloat, do you think?
The new thing nowadays is social media. I'm seeing a lot of agents struggling now because they don't understand that buyers and sellers are on Facebook and Twitter, and that's pretty much where people are going to kind of get a heads up on a listing. You know, some of my older friends who are a little, you know, been selling since the 80s, mind you, bless their hearts. I mean, they're just not jumping on the bandwagon, and they're losing a lot of business from the Gen X, Gen Y, and millennial clients. So I would say social media is the latest thing to kind of help bolster an agent to do well.
Okay. So if someone is really interested in working in real estate part-time to supplement their income, specifically a person in the entertainment business, such as an actor, singer, dancer, whose usual choices for employment are waitress, bartender, would you say that was wise to go into selling real estate? I mean, can you make any money to sustain a living while working in real estate part-time in this economy?
Yeah. Okay, as a real estate agent myself, I advocate people who are working it full time, but, you know, that's the professional response. But, you know, I did a lot of print modeling before, and I still do a little bit here and now, but when I go to a casting, you would not believe how, like, half the room there are mortgage brokers or real estate agents because we're the only people who have flexibility over our time schedule. I mean, it's amazing how many people in the real estate business actually have a foot in, like, you know, modeling or acting because the flexibility of the time is what makes this job so alluring. And Like that's how I started. I wasn't planning on selling a lot of real estate. It's just that I was able to kind of sell one or two homes and stay afloat. But, you know, because when you close a commission in California, I mean, you're pretty much set for the next couple of months or so. It's not like we're selling in the middle of Idaho where you're having to sell like 50 homes a year to stay afloat. So, I'm kind of torn. I mean, if I were talking to people who are in the entertainment industry who want to just close a couple deals, go for it. Go for it. But if I were talking to clients, I would say, you know, it's harder to, I would prefer someone who kind of is in it full time, but very rarely, I mean, it's very common for people to straddle both worlds, especially in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true. You do have to wear multiple hats in Hollywood. Now, what do you think are the three top characteristic traits needed to become successful in real estate? Or if you're thinking about selling real estate, you know, not all, you can't just take a job. I really don't believe this. People do it all the time, but I really don't think you'll ever be successful choosing a job that doesn't match your personality. You really do have to have characteristic traits that match. So what are the three top characteristic traits do you feel that you need to have if you're even thinking about getting a job in real estate?
You need to be ethical, number one. Number two, you need to have great interpersonal skills. And number three, you need to have knowledge about your niche or your area. Ethics is a really big problem. It's just, we get this bad reputation about being used car salesmen because there are people who kind of skirt the lines oftentimes. So, you know, you got to be really focused on protecting the client's best interests. That's number one. Interpersonal skills, obviously, duh. I mean, it's a people sales job, so you need to be able to relate to people, be accessible, and have their back. And number three is just being an expertise in what you do. You're dealing with people's money and the biggest purchase of their life, so you better know what you're asking people to sign. And you'd be surprised how many people don't, can't extend a contract. It's just amazing.
I can imagine. I really can. Now, let me ask you, what do you think is, in your personal opinion, what is the best thing about selling real estate and what is the worst thing about selling real estate?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. The best thing is helping people. I really feel like I'm just guiding them through a really stressful, tumultuous situation and getting them to the next level of their life, whether it's downsizing from their retirement or a divorce or their first home. It's just that helping people really makes me feel good. The worst thing is it's a hard life. It's a hard life. I mean, you can close a lot of deals in 1 month and be set, but there are months when you may not close anything at all. So everything is off of commission. So you're kind of, you know, always having to hustle and always working. So it's not a regular job. You have to always be on. And it can be draining. Yeah.
Okay. So your advice for people who want to become realtors, what would you say are the best expectations they can have? What are some of the pitfalls? And what reality checks can you give to people who think that they're going to go into it and they're going to make it to the level of selling million-dollar homes? Give us all the advice.
Okay, well, just for newbies, I mean, if you've some actor model type of listeners right now, just know that everyone who starts out from real estate, you need a bracket about 6 months of savings. Because by the time you get your license and then by the time you join a real estate agent and agency and you get going, I mean, you may not close your first deal for 6 months, but you got to have some reserve. Okay. But number two, gosh, pitfalls. always.
I would think one of the pitfalls is that not only do you have to save the 6 months to have to pay your bills, when you get into real estate, there are lots of things that you have to buy, which you may not be told all the time, right? You have to buy lot of stuff?
Well, I mean,
you got to pay for like a license, and then you got to get cards, and then you got to, right? And then you got to buy
people think, oh my God, you get 3% or 6% of the sales price. And that's just such a fallacy because like up to half of that goes to the actual brokerage. Mm-hmm. The other half goes to the agent. And maybe of that half, the agent has to pay for errors and omission insurance, MLS fees, lockbox keys, insurance, gas, business cards, signs. I mean, it gets whittled down really, really fast. So there are expenses going into it. So don't think, wow, I'm just going to throw two homes and get 3%. No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I mean, because one of my favorite shows of all time is The Property Shop. I love Tatiana Londono. I don't know if you watched that show. Are you familiar with her? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I love
this show.
She's up in Canada. And, oh, my God, I started watching the show when she – I think she started with, like, one or two agents. And now she's up to – I think she's at 60 or 70. And she's expanding her space. And I think – don't quote me on it. I can't remember because I don't pay too much attention to the commission, but usually at the end when they sell something, it shows. So it's about 7%. And I'm thinking, out of that 7%, I mean, what do they really get? Because I think she must get a cut. And then I think, I don't really know how it works, but if you get 7% of what the actual sales price is, so then as a real estate agent, you have to pay who? What comes out of that 7%?
Yeah, so in California, typically it's anywhere from 5 to 6% of the total commission. So half of that goes to the buyer's agency's brokerage, and then the other half goes to the seller's brokerage. And then so, for example, if you are representing a buyer and then the seller was paying 3% out of the 6, right, towards your brokerage would get 3%. But then of that brokerage percentage, you have a split with your brokerage. So maybe you have a, say, 75 to 25% split. So you get 75% of that 3%.
Oh, my God. What the hell are you left with? What the heck? And you're left with a little bit of peanuts. My goodness.
I know. And that's before taxes, too. So.
Wow. Oh, no. The tax man is coming for sure.
Yeah, well, I know. So.
Crazy.
People think they're rolling in dough, but no. I mean, it's a hard life. I mean, you have to really sell quite a bit or have really high price points to make it. So, but you know, the rewards are there too. I mean, you get to control your own schedule. You get to build your own business. You're like your own little mini business, and you know, freedom is priceless sometimes.
Yeah, and I would think, you know, if you're an actor or pursuing a career in entertainment, I would think that if you're here in Southern California, I think that would be a really good job for you to try to become a Beverly Hills agent, because obviously you're going to be running with the muckety mucks, you know, the moguls of entertainment. So you're going to get noticed, right? It's a really good job.
Right. Well, my advice is,
hello?
No, I'm here. Sorry. You know, my advice to people who are living in LA, who are in the entertainment industry and want to get into real estate, you don't have to become an agent yourself outright. I mean, you could also be an assistant to a top producer. That way you get your toes wet, you get to be exposed to different people, and all the while, you know, you can ramp up your real estate experience and still go to your castings and whatnot. So, I mean, there are ways to get your toes wet without going full-fledged into real estate while keeping your entertainment life.
That's a great idea. Great idea. Yeah. And do real estate agents have assistants a lot? Or I've always known of them.
Yes. I mean, a lot of people have assistants. Also, a really big trend now is teams. So you'll have like a big broker or a big agent who has like a buyer specialist or a listing specialist or maybe just an assistant or someone who hosts the open house. So, I mean, a lot of people just want you to kind of stay their open house and show the property on the weekend. So, I mean, it's a nice way to get some experience.
How would they go about doing that? Call any, like Coldwell Banker or any of the big brokers, or would they call the agent themselves? How would you go about it if you wanted to get one of those jobs? What would you do?
Well, you're always posting on Craigslist. Ask your friends. And you just walk into like different open houses too. I mean, I would just try for Craigslist because there's postings all the time there for people who need assistance.
All right. Well, there you heard it. Now, I have a question for you that's driving me nuts. All right. I watch, you know, I'm all about watching the real estate shows, and I watch another one called, Lady Rinda? Oh, Property Virgins. Okay. So she's always getting these new buyers, these property virgins. She seems to get a lot of them short sale houses. I still, for the life of me, don't understand what a short sale is, how it became a short sale. What the hell is the short sale and why? Tell me about the short sale.
All right. Well, just a quick aside. I've heard the property virgin host is leaving because my agent told me that the production company they wanted to interview me for the next host there. So I did a Skype interview with them. I don't know where that went, but I think she's actually going to be leaving the show. From what I heard, I'm not sure, but
And is there a possibility you'll be the host?
I hope so. I think they were looking more for a woman, and I told them I could look good in a wig.
Well, you do have those kick-ass cheekbones. I think you could totally, but you could kick it off, put a little lipstick on, a little smoky eye. You could pass for a woman because pretty men can pass for women, and you got the pretty locked down.
The pretty is locked down.
Well, that's a really
sexy knowledge. So I mean, it's not that far from what I used to do.
Oh my God! Well, you know, she's done a great job with that show. It's one of my favorites. And again, with these short sales. So again, what's a short sale?
Well, yes, a short sale is when you when you owe more on the property than it's worth. So let's just say your house is worth $500K. If you were to sell it, you would get $500K, right? But the problem is you owe the bank $600. So that means you're short $100K.
Well, how the hell did you end up owing the bank $600? What would be some reasons that happened?
The reason is because a lot of people during the heyday and a lot of banks were giving people loans with 0% down. So if you bought a house like during the peak and you didn't put any money down, $500K, for example, you bought a house, you didn't put any money down. So you owed $500 right from the beginning. Over the course of time, if you weren't paying a full amount or putting anything towards down the house, you would start accumulating and accumulating and accumulating until your loan is more than what the house is worth. That's one way. Number two is maybe the value of the property dropped. So maybe you did put 10% down for a $500K house, but maybe when you bought it, it was worth $700K, so it dropped up to $500,000.
How,
so if your property value drops, then you still owe that. Your loan amount still stays the same.
How can you avoid not doing that? I mean, how can you avoid that? I mean, you don't know if the house is going to drop in value, do you? Or
Well, that's what the whole crash happened, because all these banks were creating all these exotic loans and getting people into properties who they were not qualified for. I mean, it was so ridiculous back in those days, because they would say like, oh, what's your credit? 500 something. Oh, no problem. We'll get you a house. Or, no down payment. No, that's all right. No problem. And it just really got people into trouble, because some people just are not ready to buy, but they sold them these homes anyways. So now, I mean, in hindsight, the lending market has really tightened, because they don't want people to get into situations anymore. So now you got to put 20% down, and you got to have a really strong work history, so people don't default as much. But if you're a buyer out there looking, I would just run the comps really, really well. Make sure, ask your realtor to go over what the value of the homes have been. Is this rock bottom in that area? And just make sure you're going to be staying there for a while, because, we're not out of the hole yet in the recession in real estate.
Exactly. Now, home buyers, from what I understand, talking to my various friends, home buyers spend as much money on their real estate agent as on their car, some people have said. But many people choose their agent kind of like in less than an hour. It's like first come, first serve. Because I've heard that nearly all home buyers hire the first agent they meet, because most people – and when they hire them, they just hire them. Most people don't know what to ask when they're evaluating a real estate agent. But the smart people, the smart consumers, they interview potential real estate agents before deciding whom to hire. So, just as sizing up the potential for a good fit, they're sizing you up, you're sizing them up. So I would say to be wary of agents who don't ask you questions and probe for your motivation. But a lot of people don't know that. So, you wouldn't work with just any agent off the street. And I think that good agents are just as selective about their clients, too. So my question, is that true?
Oh, absolutely. But I just want to clarify a statement you made. You said buyers spend more on a real estate agent. That's not actually true. The seller actually pays the commission for both sides. It does not cost the buyer's agent any money to use a real estate agent. So anyone who tells you that, if an agent says, oh, I'm going to represent you as a buyer's agent and you're going to pay me a fee, they're scamming you.
my God. So give me five questions that you could ask if you're a person, you've never bought a house. Give me five questions that you should definitely ask a real estate agent to know if they're the right one for you.
Well, it's
I would
really
think one would be, how long have you been in business? I don't know. I would think that.
It's not bad to work with someone who's new, because in some ways, if someone tells you, I've been in the business for 20 years, and they, let's just say they sell like a million homes a year, oftentimes if you only afford something small, you get lost in the mix. So sometimes a newbie agent isn't necessarily bad, because they're going to give you their full attention. So I wouldn't discount someone just because they're newer. I think a lot of it is you need to spend like a day with them or have coffee with them, or just say, can we just do a trial run and maybe set up a tour of some homes for one day, and then we'll decide whether we want to work with you. Because oftentimes it's chemistry. I mean, if you're going to work with someone, you got to know you like them. If you're going to spend the next 6 months in their car, you have to at least get along with them, number one. Number two, I would vet them. So vet them.
Okay, vet them. Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about some sexual thing. I'm like, hey, Herman, now. Is that some damn real estate kinky talk? Are we going to vet them?
That's another show.
Go ahead.
That's the after hours show. vet the agent, VET. Like Google them, find out what they do. I mean, oftentimes it's very interesting what people will find online about their real estate agents, from Yelp reviews, and also just see if they have a social media presence, because that is really where it's at right now. I mean, like every realtor should be on social media, because that's where a lot of the listings hit first. And something else, just a personal story. You want to make sure you kind of have the same worldview as your agent. And not that their politics really matters, but sometimes it does. Like, for example, I had a friend who he and his partner were, buying a place, and their real estate agent, it was a referral, so they were using her, but they found something online about her donating or contributing to the anti-gay marriage campaign, and this woman was helping them as a gay couple look for a house for the past 6 months. And they're like, this woman is a two-faced hoe.
Wow.
To get our money. But, she's probably going to donate that commission straight to the, people who are trying to kill us. So, I always say vet your agent. Just make sure they're on the same page with you. Not about everything, but at least,
Wow. You don't want to be paying for your nails in your own coffin unless you're going to get a damn coffin. Right. Wow. Now, is one of the questions that you would ask what is your average list price to sales price ratio? Would that be a good question?
I don't think so. I mean, you could ask it, but
Because you want a good buyer's agent, they should be able to negotiate a sales price that's lower than the list price for buyers, right? Don't you think? I mean, a competent agent should hold a track record.
Asking for an average sales price, what you should ask for is more, what are your tactics or what are your strategies to get us a good deal should we find a house? And if they can't talk about anything like closing cost credits or repairs, you may want to think about someone else. But it's very difficult to say, like, for example, if you're living in a very high-end area or someplace that's very still hot, multiple offers are going on all the time. And so if you're asking someone, what kind of deal can you get me, it's really kind of beyond their control. Like, if every house in their area is like 14 offers over asking, they're not going to get you a lower bid offer when there's 10 other people bidding on the property. So a lot of it depends on the market. I would just ask them what is going on in the market and, what are your strategies to get me the best deal out there?
Right. And another good thing.
Leave it open-ended.
And another good thing I would think is to ask if you can review the documents beforehand that they'll be asked to sign. Like, they don't know. Most people just sign anything, and, you know, they're not going to read it. So I would think the sign of a good real estate agent is a professional who makes forms available for you as a buyer to preview before you're required to sign them, you know, if at all.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know. They don't know that they don't know they're supposed to get, you know, a buyer's broker agreement, you know, or agency disclosures, purchase agreement, buyer disclosure. They don't know that. And if you don't tell them, you got, you know, it's just kind of good, you know.
Right.
And
I think it depends on the client. See, some clients, there are some type of people who just do not want to read anything and totally trust you. Otherwise, you inundate them and they get scared and they get overwhelmed. But
that's,
I mean, if the agent
point.
Ask you, hey, you know what? If you want, I can forward these forms to you and you can look them over the weekend. Or if you have any questions, let me know before we sign anything. I mean, just have the option. But if you say, if you ask for forms and they're kind of hesitant, then I would kind of shy away from them.
Got
so
it.
So just depends on the client, yeah.
Got it. And I would think also a real estate agent, you should, is it good that they'll help you find other professionals, you know, let the real estate agent kind of explain to you who he or she works for. And, you know, I think the agent should be able to supply you with a written list of referring vendors, you know, like mortgage brokers, home inspectors, title companies.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down later on in the line, but you can certainly ask for a list up front about, you know, their resources, and some agents post it on their website. You know, I always feel like, you know, ask for also testimonials or past references from clients too, because those people on the reference list who are contractors, they're going to say good things because that's business coming their way. I mean, you want me to talk to some past clients of theirs.
I agree, because and make sure that they're not relatives, because I have heard I have heard stories about that, haven't you? I've heard they've gotten letters of testimony from their damn aunts and uncles and then promised to buy them a 40, you know, and
40.
Buy them a 40 ounce, or they agreed to some, you know, wild sexual thing, or, you know, a piece of crack or something. But you got to make sure you ask, right? You got to ask things like, you know, what a lot of times you. Oh, and another thing is some people say, oh, do you represent buyers and sellers on the same house? I can't imagine that anybody would do that, but. I don't
You know, this is actually something that's kind of a little bit of my pet peeve, is that, see, that's called dual agency, when an agent represents the seller and the buyer, right? So in California, that is legal, but in many, many states, that is illegal. And it's kind of like representing both sides. You're like, well, who are you really representing? It's like going to court with the same lawyer. You're kind of like wondering, well, who are you really representing? You know, you don't really know. So I'm surprised in California that it's legal. But, that is kind of a weird situation. So if someone's, you know, trying to push you toward the dual agency, you may want to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, you dig a little deeper, like, don't do it and dig yourself to China, because you don't want to definitely do that. I would think not. I definitely.
Yeah, and if the agent is pressuring you, for example, you walk into an open house and that agent represents a seller, and they say, oh, no, well, I can write the contract for you as well. I mean, you just be firm and say, no, I really prefer my own agent, but, you know, thank you so much. Just say you have rights. You don't want to compromise your getting yourself into a bad situation, because it's hard to really straddle that line. And you know what? The one of the biggest complaints with the Department of Real Estate, because the industry is regulated by the state, one of the biggest complaints is dual agency. It's a conflict of interest. Oftentimes they'll close, and then the buyer, the seller will litigate over something, because how do you really know whose side that person was on? And things pop up, and then you're in a lawsuit.
I tell you, and I, you know, Herman, I was going to ask you, I know you sell houses and not land. How much do you know about land?
Well,
land sales? Well, my husband is like, make sure you ask Kermit about our land. Make, I said, I'm not bugging that man about our damn land. Well, he swears that. Well, I'll just, you know, one minute of your time. Okay, so, you know, I've bought, you know, some investments, and it's just this one particular piece of land that we have a problem with. I bought a piece of land, sight unseen, in North Carolina, and it was because it was located in the retirement capital world. Bought it in 2007, bought 2 acres for, are you ready for this, $35,000, a corner lot in this community. They said that it was going to have everything, internet access, water, everything that you're supposed to get when you buy land. Well, flash forward, what's happened? The economy falls, There were only 33 properties left. Now, apparently you can't sell the land because we bought it, we were going to flip it because the person who referred us was doing the same thing and able to flip the land, like buy it on a Friday, flip it on a Monday for 4 times what she bought it for. So we buy this. Oh my God, the economy falls. I still have that damn land. And the man now has 66 properties because there were so many foreclosures. And I don't know what to do because everybody says, oh, hold on to it. You know, well, there's nothing I can really do. I'm stuck with it because we can't sell it because you have to have all tracts of land sold before you can sell your property. So now I don't know what's going to do. I've heard rumors that the builder is going to file bankruptcy. I don't know what's going to happen if that happens. And I don't know, Lord Herman, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with anybody in North Carolina, but you do not get return phone calls. You do not get return emails. Apparently, everybody deals with everybody by a shake of a hand, and we cannot get anybody on the phone. I am paying homeowners dues, $350 a year. For what? There's nobody on the property. Nothing. We found out there's no internet access. There's no electricity. There's no running water. You can't even get a phone. And so I don't know. Am I stuck with it? Is this the worst deal ever? And I'm paying, I don't know. I'm just really frustrated with it. What do you think I should do?
I understand the frustration. So just quick note. Yes, you did buy the Teague, unfortunately. Number two, you bought something sight unseen, which I would not advise. I'm sure if you could turn the hands back in time, I mean, that little trip to North Carolina would have probably situation, but you know, it's in the past. Number three, it's not that, I mean, it's a bad situation, but just imagine people who bought like $500,000 of a house and in the same situation. I mean, did you buy it all cash, or because $35,000 is
I got a fixed loan 7% that's going to mature next year. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And oh my God, you know what's flipping me out? $20. I mean, my payments every month. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's only $237. But what bugs me is that only $20 goes to principal. I've been paying on it since 2007, and that's only $20 going to principal. It fluctuates between 20 and 25. I get excited when I see 25 being put towards principal. But I said never again, never again. So, I mean, I think I'm stuck with this land, and I think it was a bad deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know the answer to that, dear.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. Let me just talk about you some more. I'm going to go into a false.
We can talk about it off the air, mind you.
Yeah, I'll email you. All right, let's talk about your video blog. Now, you started a video blog, Habitat for Humanity, because you said that real estate was too serious and it needed a dose of humor. Tell us about that.
Well, my goodness, Priscilla, you know, real estate agents in the business, they take themselves way too seriously. Okay, it's a hilarious business. People got their nose stuck up in the air. You know the type of realtor I'm talking about. They got the nose stuck up in the air, and they're always dressed perfectly. But no. I mean, there's a lot of big old mess that happens in the background. And I just wanted to kind of bring it out to the public. And it's been great. I started about a year ago, and you know, it, you know, before that I was just kind of like a little dinky agent, but now it kind of put me on the national stage, and I've, you know, been on MSNBC, and I'm a speaker now, and it's just amazing. It's amazing that I struck a chord, because people need to laugh in this recession.
They most certainly do. Now, how are you making them laugh? Is it, you do a video blog? What do you talk about?
I talk about the hilarious things that happened to me, and I call people poo-poo out.
Do you tell any stories about your crazy clients?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talked about one person who backstabbed me. You know, I spent 6 months shopping for them, and then I found the house of their dreams, and the next day I was going to call them about the offer, and then they tell me, by the way, that house that we saw yesterday, we wrote an offer with our aunt. And I was like, what? She's like, oh, yeah, she just got her license last week.
Oh.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. So where? So how would we, anybody who wanted to watch your video blog, is it on every day? Do you do it once a week? How would we be able to watch you?
Just log on to habitatforhermanatee.com, and I try to post new videos every week, but I also blog about other things too, like celebrity stuff, some CNN, some serious stuff as well, and I've been showcasing a lot of design work too. So it's kind of like a real estate and design, but with a punchline.
Now, let's talk about Work Open, which is a collaboration, I believe, between Saks Fifth Avenue and Dot 429, and where you're encouraging professionals to come out at work. Tell us about that project.
Yes. Well, Dot 49 is an LGBT social network, a networking kind of group, and then Saks Fifth Avenue obviously is this big retailer, and so they partnered together to do videos kind of in the vein of It Gets Better, encouraging people who are working professionals and in the closet to come out of the closet.
Come the hell out! My God, what the hell are they still doing in there?
Exactly. It's dark and dingy and moist and smelly. Ugh, come on out.
Oh, no, coming out. Oh, my God. So are you did you start Work Open, or is that what is Work Open? Is it?
Oh, yeah. Work Open is the name of the campaign between the two groups. So I did a video for them, and, you know, I've been involved in a lot of gay rights stuff, like the No Hate campaign, and I just did something with the SayItToMyFace.org anti-cyberbullying campaign. So I'm just really about giving back to the community too, because, you know, we get picked on so much being LGBT, and, you know, they need someone who's outspoken like me to kind of, you know, stick it for them.
I agree. What else are you doing exciting that you can tell us about in 2 minutes?
What else can I say about myself?
Anything. You got 2 minutes. Go and go.
Please. Well, I'm writing a new book coming out soon, and it's going to be an expose about the real estate business. So everyone stay tuned for that. It's going to be a hoot.
Is that something that we can find on habitatforhumanity.com?
Yes, I'm going to post all my updates there. And just keep watching. You know, I've got a lot of things going on right now, and I'm going to be doing the Walk for Cancer in Hollywood on the 30th of July. So, just keep watching on habitatforhumanity.com.
Now, what?
Watch and learn.
Well, if you get that hosting job, I mean, are you still going to do your video blogs, or are we not going to see you do? We'll just have to see you on Property Virgin then, right?
I will always keep doing my video blog, because that's the one place where I can be myself and not be beholden to clients or networks. So as long as I can keep doing what I want and sharing my light with people, I'm going to keep doing it.
Now, so what do you want to leave us with? Your choice, where you are right now in your life. Did you make the right decision to be involved in real estate, or would you change it?
Well, my advice to myself as a younger person, and also to all your listeners out there, is to be true to who yourself. I mean, be true to who you are. I'm a people person. I like being in the limelight. I have a light that I like to help people with. That's why I went to real estate. I found a way to kind of create my personality shine, and that also helps me on camera. And it's the same thing with people out there in the world. Just be true to yourself. Whether you're buying a house or trying to be an actor, you got to make sure that whatever you're getting into is really true to you.
And
that's the only secret.
So there you go. Herman says, if you're an actor, pursue real estate. You don't have to be a waitress or a waiter or a bartender.
Yeah.
You can pursue real estate. And if you go to Habitat for Humanity, you can contact Herman Chan and you can tell him you listen to the show. And he might give you some tips, advice, and resource information how to pursue a career. He's doing it. He's successful. He's a real estate expert and he's pursuing an entertainment career. So why don't you have both? Right, Herman?
That's right. You can have it all. Just
you
dream
can
big.
Have it all, baby. Well, you know what? I loved having you as a guest today. You were awesome, fantastic, marvelous, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious good. And I was wondering if you would consider coming on next year.
Oh, anytime. Anything for you.
Oh, my Lord. Well, you know what you can do for me? You can blow a picture of your little ass up and a big poster for some of those lonely, lonely nights.
I
really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Say goodbye to the audience. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We're going to see you next week. Goodbye, everybody. Say bye, Herman.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.